It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's 4 o'clock at KSL News Radio. Good afternoon. I'm Maria Shaleo, sitting in today for Jeff Kaplan. KSL's top story this hour. A Utah judge granted a temporary restraining order today, putting the state's abortion trigger law on hold for at least 14 days. KSL News Radio's Becky Bruce was monitoring the hearing and has the latest live from the KSL 24-hour news center. Becky?
Maria, attorney Julie Murray made the argument asking Judge Andrew Stone to put that trigger law on hold in an emergency hearing that just wrapped up within the last half hour. She argues the law violates the Utah state constitution.
The harms here, the upset to the status quo, we believe strongly tips in favor of a temporary injunction.
The state's representative wanted more time to respond to the arguments, but the judge ultimately decided there's enough reason to put the trigger law on hold at least for 2 weeks while the legal process plays out. The next hearing is scheduled for July 11th. Becky Bruce, KSL News Radio.
In Washington, D.C., law enforcement continues its stepped-up response after the Supreme Court's decision to overturn federal protections for abortion rights.
Still a heightened police presence at the U.S. Supreme Court, where demonstrations have continued since the release of the court's opinion striking down Roe v. Wade Friday. D.C. police plan to remain at full deployment until at least Tuesday, continuing to coordinate with federal partners, including the Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. Last month, Homeland Security issued an alert warning of the potential for violence following a Supreme Court decision on abortion rights. Justin Finch, ABC News, Washington.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell weighed in on the abortion decision from the Supreme Court today. He says it's a sign that the issue has to be settled at a state and local level. He says just because Roe and Casey decisions have been on the books for years doesn't mean the decision should have been upheld.
Precedent is important. It is important. But sometimes precedent is wrong.
There have been signals from McConnell that if Republicans get the majority in Congress again, there could be a push for lawmakers to enact a federal ban on abortion. Google is joining a growing list of companies that is adjusting policies after the Supreme Court ended Roe v. Wade. Several have told employees they will cover travel to states where abortions are legal. Google says employees can apply to relocate to a branch in one of those states, no questions asked. Multiple people are dead and about 50 people have been injured in Missouri after an Amtrak train derailed on its way to Chicago from Los Angeles. Amtrak says the train hit a dump truck at an intersection and 8 cars derailed. Russell Quimby is a former engineer with National Transportation Safety Board. He tells ABC News that the train might not have had the capability to stop even if the train crew saw the truck in the intersection.
Amtrak and particularly, but trains cannot generally stop if someone's in front of them in within their sight distance, even if it's a long sight distance as in this accident.
Passengers have been taken to a local school for safety, and there is a heavy police and fire rescue presence at the scene. The state elections office says all the voting machines are working correctly ahead of primary election day tomorrow. KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ertz reports Blanding Representative Phil Lyman made claims on social media that some voting machines were changing votes.
Representative Phil Lyman claims he's gotten 3 reports of machines in Wasatch County switching people's votes from Mike Lee to Becky Edwards. The state elections office says some ballot marking machines in that county had a font size that was too small, and it made 2 people have issues clicking the right box next to the candidate's name. They say the voters have 3 chances to verify their votes are right before submitting, and the voters reported their votes were fixed.
The state elections office says the font has been enlarged on those machines in Wasatch County. Senate candidates are reacting to Representative Lyman's comments today.
Becky Edwards says she wants to see Mike Lee himself condemn the comments.
Any claim otherwise or an absence of condemnation on Senator Lee's part is a blatant and shameless attempt to undermine the integrity of our elections.
Senator Lee gave a statement saying his campaign has every confidence in Utah's elected county clerks and the lieutenant governor's office to oversee a free and fair elections. Ali Isom says she sees the comments as a political stunt.
I absolutely think it needs to be condemned. Calling on other candidates to condemn things is also a stunt in my mind. So I really feel right now like, could we just straight shoot to the American voter, to the Utah people, that we need them, that their voice matters?
Amy Kobabe, KSL News Radio.
Weber County elections officials say they are not hearing of any problems with ballots or security ahead of tomorrow's primary in Utah. County Clerk Ricky Hatch told David Dujanovic, even if you have concerns, you have options.
They're cautious, but they're saying, well, maybe rather than mail it with the Postal Service, I'll drop in a drop box. Or maybe rather than put it there, I'll bring it into the vote center on Election Day. All of those are good options, and they all are good controlled options that that voters can feel comfortable with.
He says so far the turnout has been pretty normal for a midterm election year. KSL News Time 4:05.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.